You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to episode 3 of Dear Multi-Hyphenate. Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Third episode and second guest as well. Okay. Because, the reason why I reached out to you so soon is because why we met Adam Hindman is... We were connected by Kirsten Wrinkle, who was like, I know two multi-hyphenates that should be meeting each other. And we had coffee on the Upper West Side, and now we're here.
I love it.
So, okay, when I open up the podcast with a few different things now, because I'm starting to figure out the footing of this podcast, and... it doesn't leave my brain now at all. And I'm like, okay, well, I could do that. You know, as us creatives often, when we're doing something, it doesn't leave our brains. I want to know what a multi-hyphenate is to you.
Exciting. I think that more and more we're moving towards a world of multi-hyphenated artists, multi-hyphenated professionals. I think that within our generation, particularly millennials, have a kind of mission-driven purpose. I myself am someone fueled by contribution, and in my upbringing doing many different things, I was able to gained such fulfillment by being a part of community, by being in contribution to something greater than self. So it was kind of a pathological thing that really led me, maybe even self-centered. I was so fulfilled by doing lots of different things. So why would I stop? Right. At every kind of flux moment or renegotiation point, from school to professional or amateur to professional or whatever, there requires a renegotiation. You do have to focus. You do have to create clearance in one area, particularly. That's with any, I think, rite of passage or huge moment in your life. You have to create clearance and focus in. Those moments when I was just doing one thing, however, always brought me back to the confirmation that I'm whole when I am in conversation across disciplines and able to contribute in many different areas. So I think for me, a multi-hyphenate is someone who is contributing to the... height of their potential.
I love that.
Yeah.
I think that's amazing. And I completely agree with you 110%. I mean, as artists, we are spiritual beings and people. And so it's really great to tie in that spiritual experience with a commercial theater experience as well, because you are working right now on two shows on Broadway,
yeah,
which is very exciting. And that's The Inheritance and that's Hadestown. So talk to me about your experiences, how they give and take from each other. Draw us a little Venn diagram, shall we?
Oh, wow. Okay. I'm going to be spitballing because I, you know, this is just flow and I love that. This is such a safe space to do that.
Yes.
I am a performer in Hadestown. I'm currently a swing and, I've been a performer, in several shows, and that is kind of the foundation, I think, of my artistry. But I always knew it wasn't the, quintessence. It was never just going to be that. I have been dibble dabbling in producing. I've been always interested in how we make decisions, where the flow of an idea is curated and amplified in this collaborative art form that is theater. Mm-hmm. And it actually was a major injury I had that was the catalyst to me really stepping into the producing, re-educating myself, networking, really figuring out the particulars on the opposite side of the table so that I can, once again, be in contribution, so that I can use my own ability to make a stand for what I want to, you know, see impact and the potential and the progress in the industry. So right now, it's kind of a cool capacity because I'm a vacation swing at Hadestown, mm-hmm. which kind of feels like I'm Hadestown's cool gay uncle yeah. who just kind of like shows up for
love that.
holidays and special occasions.
Yeah.
But I'm not full time in the building. Mm-hmm. So it created some space for me to also be taking on projects and very much on the producing realm, especially on the commercial producing realm. If you're not the lead producer on a show, it also feels very kind of freelance or part-time. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not taking on full liability. Mm-hmm. You're not structuring the LLC, for instance, like Sonia Friedman, Tom Curtihy, and Hunter Arnold did together as the lead producers for The Inheritance. Those, I would say, that executive producing team structures out a supporting producing team under them with investors and co-producers. So I'm on the co-producing side. And of course, there's a financial responsibility to raise, but also we have such a wealth and rich pool of co-producers that are experienced and passionate and heart and soulful. Mm-hmm. That are being utilized within teams and marketing and advertising and strategy. So it's really rewarding to be a part of that cohort mm-hmm. to clarify the audience for the show, to continue to be strategizing how this beautiful show can reach more people.
It's kind of amazing, right? Because I'm thinking about the co-pros that I know mm-hmm. on The Inheritance and it's primarily a younger team, is
yes.
it not?
Yeah. Yeah.
And same with Be More Chill. There mm-hmm. are more shows where it's younger teams starting to show up on Broadway.
Yeah.
And those people, the people that I'm thinking of that are on different teams, you know, they are all people that are multi-hyphenates. They all cross-pollinate in the industry. And I feel like there's like proof in the pudding right there that, you know, multi-hyphenating, the act of it works, mm-hmm. you know, because, I mean, how many times have you come across the question, like, what is it that you do, though?
Mm.
You know, that condescending question, but also people love to label, people love to put you in a box. I don't mean to speak for you, but for me and for a lot of other artists that I know. But this kind of goes, well, watch me. You know, you have your name in two different playbills right now on Broadway, and there's
whoa.
Yeah. At the same time. Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah. Right?
That really hit me just now.
Yeah. In one time, one scene. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, right?
That's something fierce. That and thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you for that moment of kind of awareness. Something that Orin Squire, mm-hmm. who's an incredible multi-hyphenate himself.
Gotta jot that down, gotta have him on the
okay. A writer, producer, mm-hmm. director. He very much lives by an ideal of karmic practice,
yeah.
you know, practice. And the linchpin in really allowing your seeds and karma to really grow mm-hmm. is rejoicing.
Right.
And that's something that we oftentimes skip over.
Mm-hmm. But celebrate, sorry, I did not mean
yeah.
to interrupt you, but celebrating each other, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, people go, and this is just, I'm citing people. I'm not saying that this is how I feel about myself. But like, you know, I have friends that come over for a headshot session with me in my studio. And they go, they look around my photos that I have like in my space. And they're like, you should be so proud of yourself. And I go, I don't When something happens, I pat myself on the back, but there's always so much more work to be done. I think I could afford to maybe celebrate a little more, but in the work, karmically, in the work that I choose to do, I choose to celebrate others. And when I produce, it's to lift your vision up higher. It's, you know, with Indoor Boys, it was to lift Wes and Alex's vision higher, to make that come alive. Like, when I, and I say this every episode, I reiterate what I think multi-hyphenate is, and that's an artist who has multiple proficiencies that cross-pollinate to help flourish professional capabilities. So basically, I think what that means to me is that, you know, I am a photographer, and my income with my photography helps me produce projects that I could be in or am passionate about. If you take me out to coffee, if I meet you at 54 Below or Green Room 42 or somewhere, and you tell me about a project and it falls under the umbrella of what I believe in and what, how I want to be represented as an artist, I will help you out the best that I can, you know? And I think that that is celebratory in itself as well.
Yeah, I think that is so absolutely the case. I sometimes get into conversations or debates about purpose. Mm-hmm. Even my fiance and I, he's also in the industry, and we have kind of different ideas about purpose. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of performers can sometimes say that they have a tracked idea mm-hmm. of what fulfilling their purpose is. For me, I don't think my purpose is any one thing. Mm-hmm. And I think we sometimes conflate passion and purpose.
We were talking about right? sober coffee, and I brought it up in another episode.
Yeah.
Passion versus purpose. Mm-hmm. Talk to me a little bit more about that.
I think that your purpose is really an umbrella mm-hmm. that collects an essence that fuels you towards mm-hmm. anything. And your passions can be vehicles that you activate your purpose. So I always talk about activating your purpose, and you can do that anywhere. That can happen in the best conversation you have with a loved one. That can happen for me when I am sharing a narrative on stage. That can happen when I'm amplifying somebody else's vision mm-hmm. on a producing capacity. That can happen when I do some of my crisis work and social work within the Trevor Project. It can happen so many different ways. But you have to be clear about the why instead of the what.
Right.
For me, it's about using my gifts and talents as a conduit of connection, right? And I have mission, I have idea, I have vision. Mm-hmm. But if it's not in line with that kind of community essence mm-hmm. and being a conduit so that it's greater than just self-oriented, then it's not in line with my purpose. Right. So that changes the shows that I will audition for.
Same girl, yes.
That changes the projects that I will raise money for. That changes the dramaturgical like consulting I'll do on certain projects. Mm-hmm. That changes the people I'll spend time with
right.
creating relationships. So
I have a genuine question for you. Now,
rather than
a fake question. Now, I agree with you wholeheartedly. That's why I have you on here wholeheartedly, is because I agree with you. No, just kidding. I welcome someone that I don't, you know, agree with, so we can have a peaceful discussion.
Okay.
But I do agree with what you're saying 110%. Now, I've had this conversation with other people where the act of the idea of privilege comes into the conversation. A few people have said, you know, like, well, you're privileged enough to have the choices to be able to audition for shows, that, you know, you're privileged to be able to make those decisions. You're privileged to be able to do that. What are your thoughts on privilege when it comes to making these choices and the way that we live our artistic lives?
Yeah, I think that we always have to acknowledge our privilege mm-hmm. everywhere we go.
Yeah.
And we have to be responsible around privilege. I think that's really what it comes down to, and it's going to be so unique for each person. At any level of marginalization mm-hmm. or disenfranchisement, there is also an aspect of contribution that can still be, you know, activated. There's still purpose within every life.
Yeah.
So it's about showing up for your possibilities. I sometimes speak with groups or students, and I am sometimes asked about my injury and what that kind of experience was. I was performing and I was leaving one show to start another one, and I had this major injury that affected everything, and I couldn't dance. I couldn't even feel my legs. So I was replaced in both productions. So that really got real, like how I was walking my walk and talking my talk, because it was so clear that I could either spiral in my circumstance,
right,
or I could show up for my possibility. I didn't know what my purpose was or what the purpose for this injury was. And I actually believe that you don't have to know.
Yeah.
You don't have to know what the purpose is to step into your possibility. You have to choose it. You have to really choose it. So that I think goes like part and parcel with the idea of privilege. You cannot be overwhelmed by your privilege and feeling shame around it. And you also cannot be stuck in your circumstance if you have a lack of privilege, right, to not step forward,
right,
and create connection, create all of those things, because purpose still exists everywhere. You don't have to know how to do it. And what we also know is that comparison is the thief of joy.
Yeah.
So I believe that that comparison thing becomes destructive. Not that it's not real, not that certain people don't have the same access and everything,
right,
but joy can unleash your ability to choose potential.
Right.
Right? So if we're robbing our joy by comparison to others, then we're also compromising our ability to step into our potential, which will activate our purpose. So it turns into a feedback wheel.
Right. And, you know, that's the thing. But it's like,
yeah, privilege is real. And it's a conversation that I think you have to step forward with.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone who is using their privilege to make major steps or moves should also take the responsibility of that.
Right.
Like, I know my areas of privilege, even as a queer, multiracial man that walks through the world, I have marginalization and disenfranchisement, but I also know the areas that I have such privilege, and I also have to lead with that, be transparent with that, and again, use it for a greater.
Right. I mean, where we choose to kind of hang out says that, like, the last time I saw you was just like 2 weeks ago at the Rosie's Gala. You know, it's like we are surrounding ourselves in environments that are helping the world around us. You know, it's we were dressed up, you know, we were at this table, and but at the same time, we're celebrating these kids that are working so hard to, and eventually will be our bosses. You know what I mean? Like, those kids on that stage are going to find themselves throughout college and eventually be telling us what to do as well, and hiring us for events and opportunities. I mean, we're doing that for our idols, you know, hiring, if I'm producing a concert at, you know, a performance venue here, I'm reaching out to people that I grew up listening to on cast albums and stuff like that. And what I'm trying to say is that I think by being there and putting ourselves in environments where we can lend our privilege to make that a better place, that's what it's all about. It's acknowledging that privilege and putting it to use for the greater good.
Mm. And I think that we are in conversation and discussion about how we reinterpret the idea of pipeline.
Right.
And sometimes I think it is a multi-hyphenate that has the perspective to actually realize we have to keep the pipelines open, the channels open where we come from, anything. We cannot stop our momentum forward, but it's so similar to an African proverb idea of Sankofa, which is moving forward while looking back. Mm-hmm. And at any moment, you can't run with your privilege and create momentum and forsake the area that you come from. And you have to keep those channels open. So like wherever you're moving, you have to realize that there's also a responsibility to take where you've come
right
with you. And it's not about using your privilege to stay in areas of privilege or to acquire more privilege. It's about perhaps opening up the space so that it's, well, I am here and therefore I'm bringing with me. So it's not just about you, because that can, you know, activate areas of tokenism and mm-hmm. blah, 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 that can create a negative aspect of isolation kind of dysphoria when your experience is not affirmed. So that's another reason why I'm such a advocate and proponent about real community building mm-hmm. wherever you go.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
A question, you bring up an interesting point about isolation. Have you, even though we do work about, like, in regards to our community, we build up community, like, we can ask anyone for anything, you know, because we do good work and we are good people and we, you know, have a good reputation, knock on wood, you know, but in that whole experience, do you ever find yourself isolated and lonely? I think sometimes being a multi-hyphenate, we take on so much, we experience a lot, we plan, we have to produce, we have to send emails, we have to take meetings, that sometimes our social life is compromised or our social life becomes our work life. Do you ever find that it can be a lonely experience at times?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think that it can manifest in two realms. I think that can manifest socially mm-hmm. because you're running around doing so many things, straddling multiple lanes. Therefore, your capacity for social engagement or building those relationships are, you know, limited because right. you have to kind of burn the candle on both ends. And then I think individually, it can kind of come in an idea of self-identification mm-hmm. and how you are carrying at one time multiple hats mm-hmm. and you have to go into certain scenarios putting one on. A lot of like code switching kind of, right. but like in an idea of identity.
Yeah.
But there's no identity right. cap that you can put on at the end of the day and being like, I am all of these things.
Right.
You have to do the work to right. like maintain them at once or kind of remove it and maybe I don't know, have a different way of finding balance.
That's literally, that's what I say. I put a little more, maybe I shouldn't do this, but also, yeah, someone's got to say it, I feel like, but put a little more definite, like a little more definition on that. Like when it comes to being a multi-hyphenate, we didn't have these conversations a year ago, mm-hmm. 2 years ago, you know? And now this generation is kind of coming up being like, I do all this stuff. And people have told me no this whole time that I can't do multiple things. I can't do it. I can't live a successful life. I can't stay focused. Like, you know, we have teachers that say, if you can think of doing anything else, do that. You know, anything other than performing, do that. Mm. There are teachers that literally say that to their students. And it's so insane because we are able to multi-hyphenate. But I think that to proudly wear the multi-hyphenate coat hat, I think that you have to be able to make a living off of the things that you're doing. And also, I think that they need to inform each other.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that, I've said this in another episode as well, but I don't think like a knitter, roller skater, and performer is a multi-hyphenate. It's hobbies and fun things to do.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if you find ways that they coincide, that's a different story, but my income directly benefits my projects that I produce or can perform in. And I think that that is the cross-pollination. That's what makes a multi-hyphenate, mm-hmm. a professional multi-hyphenate.
Absolutely. For me, I sometimes think about that. When I had a moment where I fully embraced my identity as an artist, mm-hmm. and claiming that in its fullness for so long. And I went to a liberal arts school and I was studying lots of different things. And there's maybe a ego-driven thing about it where I was like, well, I'm like an academic,
right. or
I'm an anthropologist. Yeah. And I also do like performance on the side, and I also right. do theater on the side, or I'm an athlete, and like I also do theater on the side. Or, you know, like when friends were doing interviews and iBanking and consulting, and I was like, well, maybe I should do that, and maybe I should, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That there was an idea that like, I don't want to like jump all the way into like being an artist because I can't maintain some sort of like safety or security or like superiority, maybe
right.
even like I have one foot out the door too. Mm-hmm. But I came to a realization that actually everything that I am most passionate about career-wise, professionally, and impact comes from the arts.
Mm-hmm.
That is such a wide, wide, wide place that I can activate all of these areas, that it's not about not claiming that. It's about fully jumping in and seeing the width and breadth that mm-hmm. exists. And I think about that. Even like the actual term of like vocation,
mm-hmm.
you know, like that's the Latin root of vocatio, which means calling. It's not work.
Right.
It's not a job. It's a calling.
Right.
I'm called to be an artist. And in all of these areas, in the arts, I can fulfill my logical, my creative, my organizational, my leadership,
mm-hmm.
all of those areas.
I was a little scarred. I'm a little late to the club of owning like my, oh, I'm hungry. Did you hear my stomach growl? Jeez, I heard it in the, hey. I'm a little late to the club in regards to ownership. You know, I was scarred in college because in my review letters, my first one that I ever got was that I was very self-focused in my work. And I don't want to be self-focused ever. That goes against what I believe in. And I think really the conversation was that I had performative energy and I was making the whole scene about me. But I took that and rolled with it and got super heady about it. It's like, oh my God, I'm self-focused in everything I do in all of my life. So I'm really careful, even like creating this podcast, like creating Michael Kushner Photography, social media posts, like creating the dressing room project, all these things, there is a demon. There is someone that is in the back of my mind going, yeah, but like another thing that's going to get you attention, like, you know, like who are you actually benefiting like by doing this? So it makes me check, like check makes me check my ego, and it makes me check at the actual community. Like, is this work benefiting the people around me for the greater good? And I think having all those outlets of artistry allows me to do that, because it requires different parts of our heart, different parts of our gut, different parts of our brain. I think in a much different way than for photography than I do for performance. Mm-hmm. You know, it requires different tactics of communication, and therefore I think it requires different tactics of different parts of the ego, different parts of that's what I'm basically, what I'm trying to say is that ego is a part of who we are, mm-hmm. all the time, but as long as we check it and make sure that we're benefiting the world around us, I think that our work becomes whole as mm-hmm. a part of, as opposed to just self-focused.
Yeah, I think that's such a important nuanced conversation to have, because every multi-hyphenate has to create anchoring for themselves, right. That is unique. There's no rubric that you can follow. There's no plan of action. If you start to like look at how someone else did or what their journey was, you'll end up in the weeds, because right. they have a different mix and blend than you. So that's so real about like using everything as feedback and like awareness that even like while feelings are not facts, like right. they're real. Mm-hmm. They create a real experience. So how can you use it as like awareness so that like you're not shaming yourself for having fear or shaming yourself for like being ego driven, but being like, well, this comes up at certain times. Right. How can I use it so that it's actually in line with the fullness of what my purpose is? You know,
right.
I'm using this like this feedback I got that like makes me scared to like think that everything is ego driven, but like it's actually a point of awareness that keeps me grounded mm-hmm. in what the fullness of my potential right. is supposed to be used for. So I think that is so important for the conversation of multi-hyphenates, because it's like, what is your North Star?
Yeah.
What is driving you? Like you say, what's that space, that essence, that conversation that is between these things mm-hmm. that move it all in parallel.
Right.
That it's not like distracting. It's not these things that like aren't in the same universe.
Did we talk about, I love one of my professors at Ithaca, Cynthia Henderson, teaches acting from a very metaphysical standpoint, like a very scientific standpoint. And it was, I loved it so much. And a lot of people that took calculus, you know, A, B, B, C, all that good okay. stuff, were able to connect to acting that way, because there was like almost like a finite answer to mm. like the scene work and stuff like that. It was really cool. Super cool. Heady, but like really cool. And so I like started doing my own writing and started my own like diving into what not only acting is, but the work is that I do. And I went back to just science, and I was like, there's a really interesting thing that we play with as artists, and that's potential and kinetic energy.
Mm.
You know, the principles of physical science. It's like every artist in the city, in the world, has the potential energy to be a multi-hyphenate. You know, I don't think you and I are special. I think that we have just activated tools and a muscle memory to exist mm. by balancing different acts of art. You yeah. know, that's what that is to me, cycling it and balancing it and having it inform each other. So there's that potential energy, and then the kinetic energy is actually sending that email and going, I want to produce this. Like, how can you help me?
Mm.
And then adding that, creating that muscle memory. It's like going to the gym. You know what I mean? It's like figuring out understanding equity rules. You know what I mean? If you're going to do a 29-hour reading, like, what are your limitations and what can you and can you not do? It's just diving into the experience. It's the potential versus the kinetic energy. And I think it's scientific, and a lot more people are able to understand it when you look at it that way. What do you think of that?
Wow, that's so much. I mean,
I know I'm heady AF. Like,
I very much agree with that. I think you kind of have your own case developed that is either it's binary. You either agree with that or you don't.
Right.
I definitely agree with that. I think it also connects to an idea of action, right? And I don't know why this kept coming up, but there is, I think about, if we want to go like kind of physical or metaphysical, the idea of like water or certain substances that have between like states. So gas, right? There, and like air, it like there's a hydrogen bond at the surface of water that creates like a tension, right? So you have to break that initial thing. But once you're in the actual liquid, once you're in the water, you can move much like easier. So I think about that sometimes. It's like the ripping off the band-aid. It's the action of doing anything that takes a lot more like energy to unleash, to be your catalyst. But once you're moving, you're in flow, you're in momentum, because then we talk about the law of entropy, which allows you to keep moving in the direction that you're going. Something that someone told me that I always hold on with me is that you're only a stranger once. And I think about that professionally. When I'm stuck in areas, or I'm a stranger to producing, or I'm a stranger to directing, or whatever. And I'm like, you know what? I'm only a stranger once. So am I going to allow humility and like my ego to get in the way, where like I don't want to be like not excellent, or not like an expert, or not whatever, right off the bat? It's just like, be a stranger. But after that, you're acquainted. You know?
And it's muscle memory. You just keep playing, keep figuring it out, And, you know, having these different proficiencies, I'm like, how am I doing? Like, how am I, like the photography proficiency, it's like, that is, that muscle is, I'm in the gym every day. You know what I mean? Five times a day. It's like, it is a muscle. The producing muscle is like, it's happening, it's growing, it's all that stuff. But my performance muscle that I have exercised since I'm 9 years old is like, you know what I mean? It's like, where is it going? Like, oh my God, like it used to be much more. So I'm like, okay, I think it might be time for class. It might be time to go back to class. It might, like, it doesn't matter that I've been doing this since I'm 9 years old. Like, it's never too late to go back to class. It's never too late to get reacquainted. We're only strangers once, baby.
And we are that, we are a body, you know, and everything has a different purpose. And sometimes we're just utilizing one area, but like, how as a multi-hyphenate can you create a world of feedback and awareness, like your mirror? Because if you're just working out your arms and blah blah blah, and you have no mirror to show you that like your legs have not atrophied and not working, you don't know. You might continue it, but how can we like check in with a mirror? What does that mirror look like for you that can keep you holistic and strong across your body?
And also, our bodies are made of water.
Water. What
we were just talking about. You know? So I love that. You have been amazing. And I love talking, like, because, you know, what we sometimes when we're walking on 9th Avenue and you know, we see our friends and we're doing the thing and we have that conversation. How are you? What are you up to? Blah, blah, blah. It becomes, you know, very run of the mill. You know, but this conversation, it's, there's so much possibility and so much energy, and I'm feeling revitalized after talking to you and feeling more grounded and feeling more confident in my decisions in my life. And I hope that you got something out of this too.
Oh, absolutely.
I hope that my listeners did as well.
Yeah.
And social media, where can we find you?
You can find me at Adam_Hindman, or I'm really accessible on my website, adamhindman.com.
Great. And we can catch you in Hadestown as well.
All right.
Perfect. Thank you, Adam. You're the best.
Thanks, Mikey.
Yeah.
This podcast is produced by the Broadway Podcast Network. Make sure to find me online via Instagram at TheMichaelKushner or at The Dressing Room Project, or on Twitter at MKushnerPhoto. And visit me online via bpn.fm/dearmultihyphenate.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.